Hallelujah. Be opening up to John 14. I've been revisiting what I call the face-to-face documents. And again, I know we have people that are here that were not here Wednesday night, so I've got to encapsulate a few things, get everybody's mind, and we gather everybody together, and then we're going to head down the trail, okay? Those face-to-face documents came about from me doing what's on Dave's two-tape message titled Distinguishing God's Voice. It's one of the first sets that Sue and I got. I could start right now and almost teach them verbatim because I've listened to them so many times that they're in me almost like scripture. And I remember listening to especially tape one over and over and over again at first and how Dave went into great minute detail where on his own journey trying to locate where is it on the inside of us that God talks, you know, and he'd go visit these men of God that had power and, you know, what's it like when you hear God's voice? And they'd say, well, my brother, it's deep, you know, it's deep down within you, you know, and he'd go, belly button area, is it, you know, that deep, or what part, where does it come from? And I can't reteach all that, but he goes in, I mean, by the time you get through with that, and it may take you a few times to hear it, but it makes sense. I'm going, this makes sense with everything I know from the Word and everything I know from my education. This makes sense how this works. And then especially tape two, he starts getting you into practicing, doing some things where you can start on purpose locating that place in you where you hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. Well, my purpose is not to teach that. Those messages are available. Began doing that, and I mean doing it a lot. Sue can tell you one thing. If I go into something, I pretty well go into it all the way, you know. Like when I quit drinking, I quit drinking. I haven't had another one since 1980, period. You know, that's the only way I know how to do stuff. You know, you do it or you don't do it. Every time I've tried to patty cake, you know, well, cut down. That don't work for me. I know it works for some people. It just makes me want it more. No, for me, the only thing that seems to work is take the axe, cut the root, suffer the consequences. But it's the shortest route to victory. You know? Trouble is, you can't do that with food. You die. But anyway, of course, that's what fasting is. You know, it cuts the root for a while. You can cut it. Of course, my friend, today's Jin Ho Kim's birthday. I sent him a birthday card in Korea. And Jin Ho says, I found out after my first 40-day fast, I thought it was dead. I thought I killed it. Because it was wonderful. Right near the end, my flesh was giving me no trouble. As soon as I started eating again, my flesh resurrected from the dead. So it's a matter of really living a fasted lifestyle with some fast thrown in. Now, we're not teaching on that either. Let me get... Okay, focus. Help. Focus. Narrow. All right. I want to get into the next part of the face-to-face. So anyway, I began to hear him, and I recorded those as I would begin to hear his voice in English. Then I would speak those into a little recorder that I had, and then later we transcribed those. Now, there's literally dozens upon dozens upon dozens of them. But I took 20, like the first 20. I edited out a few things, and I left in there some things that are kind of embarrassing for me. And that's for your good. So you can see God will use you too. But there's a few things I took out because it's none of your business, you know. I mean, just between him and me. And we put those in printed form at the website, and they've been there for many years. There's 20 of them as a carrot, you know. This level of fellowship is available for anybody if you want it. I was just trying to put some of the fruit out there that I had received from doing Dave's messages, as the idea being, if you do this too, if you do those messages, you can have this in your own life. Well, then Tim, about 2 years ago, I started asking me to put them on audio so people could play them. And anyway, I'm about 2 years late. I finally got that done. And people have been telling me, you know, that it's really been helping them. Some people put them on their iPods. They're available at the website in the face-to-face section now. And then we also have them available in 4 CD length MP3s. If you prefer to have a CD like you could listen to in your car, you can download those MP3s and make a CD. See, I don't know how to do that, Brother Gary. For $5, you can get a teenager on your block to do it for you. Trust me, they know exactly how to do it. It's not a problem, okay? Then here lately, the Holy Spirit's been after me to revisit those. There's been many more than 20. People ask me all the time, when is Volume 2 coming out? It's not coming out. The idea is not for you to keep hearing what God is saying to me. The idea is for me to dangle the carrot out there so you begin hearing what God is saying to you. Amen. So you write your own volume too. Okay. But they've still been coming. Now, not always to that detail, but I still to this day, when I need direction or I need just anything, I still spend time doing that so that I can hear from Him and find out what to do. I don't want to, at age 61, I don't have any decades to lose. Do you understand me? I don't need to be going down no trails of Gary's own design. I need to find His plan and stay on it and then graduate to heaven. That's my plan. Okay? The first one in this series was called Follow Thou Me. These are all at the website, GaryCarpenter.org. They're also at Ictus, IKTUS.net. The next one in this series, I think, was His Path Only. I think the next one was called Finding His Direction. So let me summarize that one. John 14. The reason for this, when Jesus was, after the disciples had been following Him for 3.5 years, now He's telling them He's going to go be with the Father in heaven. He's not going to be on planet Earth anymore. And they're going, well, how in the world are we supposed to follow You? Can we go with You? No, You can't follow Me now. You'll follow Me later. So how are we going to be Your disciples? How are You going to be the Lord? And so He says here, starting in verse 15 of John 14, if you love Me, keep My commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. Now notice, I will come to you. But how is He going to come? I mean, He just got through telling them, I'm going to heaven. Well, when He says, I will not leave you comfortless, that real Greek word there is O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S, and it means just what you think it means. It means orphans. I'm not going to leave you like orphans. Now, orphans have to find their own way, don't they? They don't have anybody to lead them. They don't have anybody to protect them. They don't have anybody to guide them. If somebody comes and adopts an orphan, they've got all those things. They've got a teacher. They've got someone who will show them the way, someone who understands. And the reason this is so important is Sue and I'm sure it's this way for anyone who ministers on a regular basis to people that come up like to get in a line. Well, a lot of times, you know, they need healing or they need, you know, pray for their children or they need other things. But I think the most common request, the most one that we get most often, people say, I need direction. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the Lord's... I've got 3 or 4 things out in front of me. I could choose any of them, but I want the Lord's direction, but I don't know how to find it. Well, that's what this series is all about. Because He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphan, but just to be honest with you, I can tell from the prayer lines most people feel that way. Sure gets quiet when I teach like this. And Sue and I were just exactly like that when we started coming to the prayer center. I mean, we'd been saved and Spirit-filled for 12 years, and we'd done all kinds of things for the Lord. We had done prison ministry, Bible studies. I was actually worship leader for a while in the church, if you can believe that. When we came here, I didn't really know what the Lord's plan was. Didn't know how to hear the Lord. I loved the Lord. All those people in the lines loved the Lord. But it wasn't until we come here that Dave starts saying, you know, there is such a thing as the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Where if you want to, just because you want to, for as long as you want to, you can sit and have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. All that time He's going to be praying out the mind of Christ. He makes perfect intercession for you according to the mind of the Lord. But then you'll begin to understand that and begin following that path. Boy, we'd never heard anything like that. So we jumped in with both barrels, but we couldn't really hear God when He first came. So, I mean, every time David have a line, I don't care if he called a line for hangnails. Sue and I got in that line. Well, one thing, we wanted that touch from God. We wanted, you know, every time David prayed, we could feel something. Now, we'd go home. Now, in those days, because our mind was so religiously trained, we'd come and we'd listen to Dave, and we're like the cow at the new gate. What? Couldn't understand about 3/4 of what the man was saying. He was like miles over our head. We'd be driving home. I'd look at Sue. You feel better? Are you better? Yeah, but I don't know why. And I was about the same way. You know, we were receiving impartation to our spirit, but our mind was way behind. You know, it took a while to catch up. But then the other reason we got on those lines was not just to feel that touch. We were so hoping. We didn't trust ourselves to hear God. We came to a place we trusted Dave to hear God. And boy, it was amazing. Here we are like little children. Can we have a lollipop? It's been a hard week. We need a lollipop, Lord. Can we? You can even talk mean to us. Just talk to us. Say something. Say it through Dave. And it's just amazing he would. Like little, you know, God loves his little children, you know. Dave would nearly every time, he'd have a word for us, and it was always edifying and, you know, built us up and everything. And little, sometimes a little correction, but mostly edification, comfort, exhortation. But I remember after a few years, wasn't very many either. I can't, two or three. I still remember the day, Sue does too, Dave says. Stood before us, we got up in our line, we come for our lollipop. But now we've been doing the message. Now see, I'm not looking at anybody. I am not talking about you. There is a big difference between being here 2 years and doing the message for 2 years. When I say two or three years, I don't mean just attendance. I mean doing it, praying, learning how to meditate. I can say it. Come on. Y'all knew it. It was fasting. Big or little, whatever you can do. Start with lunch. Not today. Anyway. Did I say that out loud? I didn't say that out loud. Greg, I didn't say that out loud, did I? Did I say that out loud? Oh, man. Go over to John 16 for a minute. We'll continue here. But I still remember the day, see, when Dave said to us, here we come for our little lollipop. And he didn't have, well, he had a word for us, all right. It wasn't at all the word we wanted. He says, oh. I remember he did just about like that. Oh. He says, well, the Lord's telling me I'm not going to have many words for you in the future. I won't be prophesying to you much anymore. Because the Lord says you've come to that place now where you are accountable for hearing his voice yourself. That's a good day. And it's a bad day. But it really did. We'd come after line and he'd pray for us after that and impart and be blessed. But it was very little prophecy from that day forward. So, well, what is prophecy for? Well, there is such a ministry as prophets and prophecy. There's several kinds of prophecy, but the kind you're thinking of. See, sometimes God deals with you in areas that you really don't want to talk about. Like the next thing, the next stronghold, the next whatever. And it could be anything. With me right now, stronghold of weight is one. I fought this Goliath before. I thought he was dead, but I didn't cut his head off, apparently. You know, David cut Goliath's head off. Apparently, I just wounded the rascal. He came back, but but there's other things that's been really more hard, you know. Strongholds, some, you know, we could pick anything. Could be just fear. Some people just live in torment all the time. God's got to get you. You think you're going to go minister and live in fear all the time? God's got to deal with that. See? Or gossip. Or with me, one of the things that had to go, he told me plainly. He wasn't squeamish about it. He said, I got to kill the love of money in you, boy. I got to drive the money changers out of the temple. I'm the temple. And as long as I'm, you know, as the money changers are running my life, the love of money, he couldn't use me very much. He said, I got to kill that. Boy, years down the road, I found out why I had to kill it. Stuff he asked me to do, there's no way you could do it if money still ruled you. Yes, sir. What is profit for? I was asking that question. Sometimes when he's dealing with you and that thing's got to, see, and the trouble is you can't, but don't ask me how I know this so well. You come up to it again, something he wants to deal with. Let's just pick something so we can have something to talk about. Let's say he wants you to forgive somebody that really hurt you bad, and it's not just a perceived hurt. They did it. Let's say they stole $50,000 from you and they're unrepentant. Okay, and they're not ever going to change, not ever giving your money back. And you're trying to go on with God, but there's a resentment in you against that. Okay? And maybe he's dealt with you about you're going to have to forgive them. And say, I don't want to forgive them. Here's a common one I get in counseling. I'll forgive them if they apologize. Well, you big-hearted outfit, you. Jesus waited till we all apologized before he got on the cross, right? I'll die for them if they apologize first. They've offended my Father by their sin. As soon as you apologize. That's not the way it works. But see, until you're ready to deal with that thing in you, you're not going very much farther with him. So he says, I want you to forgive him. You go, no. Well, okay. Usually what happens there, you drop out of prayer. Because he's not going to forget about that. If you stay in prayer, he's going to keep dealing with you, so you drop out. You know, I need a vacation. Trouble is, now don't ask me how I know these things. I probably heard Dave teach it, probably. No, I know him from experience. So, you know, you don't really make the decision. You don't turn to your wife and say, hey, I decided I'm going to quit praying. No, you just get busy. And you miss, just I'll catch up tomorrow, but today I just... But subconsciously, there was a decision made. Because he's bugging you about this next... Well, bugging you. He's dealing with you, my brothers and sisters. You know, now he's bugging you about this. He wants you to forgive him. Because if you don't get past that, you're never going to fulfill your call. Not all of it. You got to get past it. So you drop out of prayer for 2 or 3 weeks or however long you know. And usually with me... No, usually with that person I heard about, I'll come to myself and go, when did I decide to quit praying? Gosh, I don't remember that. So I start praying. See, and way down deep, something in me is thinking. I don't remember thinking it consciously, but way down deep I'll think, maybe he forgot about that forgiving thing, you know. Maybe he forgot about that. Start praying. Won't be 5 minutes. Oh, man. We're right back at the same thing again. Well, now, see, he'll take you through several cycles of that. Some people never get past it. They're never going to deal with it, and they wind up leaving the prayer center. And really, they're leaving more than the prayer center. They're leaving prayer. Why? They are not willing to deal with that. When they leave, they're usually mad at Dave, Tim, or Gary, or sometimes even Miss Daisy. I know it's hard to believe. Or anybody, you know, or any kind of offense. I mean, at this point, you just want to hang your hat on something. It's bless God, it's not your fault you're leaving. But they're leaving really because of that. And that's what we call by an impasse that they couldn't get over, see. And it could be 10 years down the road, 10 years. Let's just fast forward 10 years. And it's not like, you know, God loves them. You don't have to, you know, I mean, they're going to make heaven. They probably served in different churches and did different things. But I'm just telling you, 10 years down the road, they go, you know, I think I'm going to give that prayer another whirl. They start praying again. Won't be 5 minutes. Oh, man, that same thing that he was dealing with you about 10 years ago, what, you think he forgot? Time has no meaning to him. He's just as much, he hadn't forgot. He's right there. How in the world? I didn't intend to get off that far on it. Well, here in verse 16, I mean chapter 16, verse 12. Boy, I hope you get this. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, wait just a minute. You're Peter, you're James, you're John. You've been following him for 3.5 years. You've been sitting around the campfires at night. You know, he'd preached everybody else in parables, but to you, it's known the inner workings of the kingdom. And so, boy, I'd love to sit around those campfires and listen to those things that he would say. You've been listening for 3.5 years. You know, we consider college education usually about 4 years long, you know, 4 or 5 years. And you'd think by now, well, I pretty well know it. And here's Jesus looking right at you after 3.5 years and saying, boy, there's a lot of things I'd like to tell you, but I just can't tell you. Now, if I was there, I'd be going, yeah, you can. Lay it on me. He'd be going, no, I can't. Why can't you? You're not able to bear them. You have no capacity to comprehend. And we find out in great detail about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He had brought them as far as he possibly could to an unregenerated human being. To really know the things of God, we find out in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, those things are spiritually discerned. And you have to have a spirit which is born of God to have a capacity to know them and function in them. Jesus could have stood there and tried to teach their unregenerated spirit for the next 10 years, and it wouldn't make a lick of difference. These things are not mentally discerned. They're spiritually discerned, especially when it comes to walking in them. Got that? Well, that's why he said in the next breath, in the next verse here, he says, I've got all these things I'd like to tell you, but I can't tell you now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now see, they didn't know it, but Jesus knew it. Holy Spirit's not coming in the capacity he's talking about here until Acts chapter 2. Well, that's after the cross. And by this time, they're born again. And now they have a spirit in them which is of God. So now they have the capacity to be taught by God. That passage in 1 Corinthians 2, it says, the carnal mind, the natural man, He cannot know these things. He cannot. No matter, that's like Peter. No matter how bad you want to, unless you've been born again, you cannot know these things, for they are spiritually discerned. But Paul says, but we do teach them. He says, now I teach them. But he says, I'm teaching the things which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. That's where Dave got the message about Chuck the duck, raised by chickens. So the chickens taught him you can't fly because you're a chicken. You got to stay away from the water. You can't swim very well because you're a chicken. But it took a duck to come that had the same nature as Chuck. It said, look at your feet, boy. Look at my feet, comparing duck things with duck things. Chuck the duck was able to learn things that a chicken has no capacity to bear. That duck came and showed him his wings and says, look at my wings and look at your wings. Come follow me, boy. We're going to lift off. And that's what the Holy Spirit's calling us to do. If you'll ever come and listen to me, I'm going to teach you things you can't find in this world. One of these days, you and I are going to lift off. We're going to demonstrate God to a lost world. Let me teach you Christ things. Things that you cannot know from this world. Because you've got a spirit on the inside of you that I can teach. If you're willing to sit and listen. Y'all liking this? Well, that kind of teaching, as I'd listen, boy, doesn't it make you hungry? And so we start with, that's why we did those messages and began to hear the Holy Ghost that way and recorded them. But now he's having me revisit those 10 years later. You know, sometimes when you've, the way you think you understand something, and then you try and walk in that for 10 years, you have a little more wisdom later on than you did in the beginning. This one today is called Coveting the Gifts. Now I'm going to give you a quick synopsis. Sue calls me the master of synopsis. So let's see if I can synopsize 3 messages in 4 minutes. What we're after is to follow Christ. You hear that? I do not want to work myself silly for my whole life in ministry and find out when I die and stand before Him that I spent my whole life on good things that were never the things He really called me to do. Okay? I mean, if I have a big fear, that's it. I'll just tell you plain. I do not want to do that. What I want is to follow Him. And we get that from John chapter 21, where He told Peter, now Peter, you're going to live to be an old man, but you're going to wind up being a martyr for me. And Peter, being human like the rest of us, says, I'm going to be a martyr for the gospel. What about John? And Jesus says plainly to him, says, look, if I desire that John lives till I return, what is that to you? Peter, follow thou me. That's what we want, is it not? All right, then the next lesson is his path only. See, Yogi Berra says when you come to a fork in the road, take it. But you can't really do that. When you come to a fork in the road, you got to go one or the other. Well, that's where we talk about the Holy Spirit and what Jesus said right there in that He says the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He is going to guide you into all truth. Now get the picture of that orphan again. The orphan comes to a fork in the road. He didn't know which way to go. I've come to forks where there's six ways to go. I mean, you six choices. I don't know whether it's this. Well, I don't want to choose a good path. I want to choose His path. And that's precisely why the Holy Spirit has been sent. To take that little orphan by the hand and say, look, you don't have to worry. Just pray. Just keep on praying the mysteries. I'll get it across to you. Do that message. I'll get it across to you. Here, get a hold of my hand. You and I are going to walk through this together. I'm going to put you on His path only. All right. Then now Wednesday night, we talked about finding His direction. And in that one, the Holy Spirit was teaching me. And He used a vision of a forest. And it was a real dense forest. You know, the kind, if you've ever been in a dense pine forest where you're standing, you got your hand on the trunk of a tree and you can almost reach out and touch the next trunk. I mean, it's just that kind of dense. And here I was in this forest, and from where I was standing, you couldn't just see nothing but trees every direction you look. He says, you know, I've been working in that forest a long time, cutting down trees and trying to find the Lord's direction. And it's like I was working in an ever bigger circle. I was cutting down these trees because they're obstacles, you know, in the path. And he says, but, you know, if you'll just take a look for a minute, you've been working really hard cutting down those trees, haven't you? Yes, sir. He says, but if you look back to the center from where you started, you really haven't traveled very far, have you? No. He says, if you'll allow me, he says, with earthbound eyes, it's always going to be that way. What he means is with trying to figure it out with our natural resources, it's always going to be that way. You're going to be guessing which way. He says, would you like for me to set your direction like a compass? Would I like it? In this vision, he just lifted me up like I was going up in a helicopter. And I was up above all the trees. I was up pretty high. And I'm looking down on the forest now. And he says, now, if you'll allow me, by prayer and doing the message and communication, allowing me to communicate with you, I'll lift you up where you can see with heavenly eyes instead of earthbound eyes. And he says, do you see that clearing up ahead? And in this vision, I could see the clearing that I was in, but then I saw, way over there, I saw another clearing. And he says, do you see that clearing over there? And I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm here to tell you, that clearing right there is the next place the Lord wants you to be. Now, when I drop you back down, you're going to have direction now like a compass. And you won't be flailing around in all directions, not going very far. Now, he says, yes, he says, I'm not going to have you working on vain things that do not pertain to your call. He said, now I've set your direction like a compass. You know what he wants next. Now you can start dealing with obstacle after obstacle in a straight line on a path with direction and purpose. And you're going to arrive at that clearing quicker than you ever thought. He says, when you arrive there, there's going to be water and there's going to be food. And there's going to be an increase of anointings. Gather up everything there. Rest for a little while. He says, but don't camp at any clearing because I'll lift you up again. And I'll show you the next clearing. And the clearing after that. And this is the way it's going to be for you all the days of your life. And I'll lead you into the fullness of your calling. Does that at all intrigue anybody? Boy, it does me. Well, so 4 minutes, I think. I did pretty good. You still need to listen to those messages. Because I left a lot of things out. Well, now the very next one, this one is called Coveting the Gifts. Now, the last thing he said in the previous one, I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to show you the clearing. Now you know. Well, he plainly told me in the previous one, the next clearing where he wanted Sue and I to arrive was operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I don't know what he'll say to you. See, Gary, you going to make doctrine out of that and say that's the next clearing for everybody? No, I have no idea what your next clearing is. These are examples. I'm trying to share with you my journey. I have no idea what the next clearing for you is. But the first thing he says to me, now that was the end, you know, so I left, I come back, I'm praying again, listening. I'm just doing exactly the message that Dave teaches on distinguishing God's voice. And I began to hear him in English. So I know the next clearing now. I know that, okay, the next thing he wants us operating in is all, you know, the gifts of the Spirit. And it's not like we had never. We had operated some in that. But he's talking about on a regular basis, not just in church either, but also at the grocery store, at the restaurant, at Walmart, wherever we are. Okay? Now, he didn't mince words. I mean, here I'm praying and listening. I'm saying, okay, I know what he wants next, but I wonder what the next obstacle is. What is he talking about, a tree that must fall? Listen to the first sentence. Lack of awareness is the next tree that must fall. The number one obstacle that prevents people from walking in the gifts is they have no sense of the reality that I am with them. Has not the word said, I have come unto you forever? I am with you. I am with you forever, says the Spirit of grace. Awareness of my presence is vital and key to operating in the gifts. Now you got to get this next sentence. Understand that I am with you, whether you are aware of it or not. But lack of awareness brings lack of faith. Lack of awareness brings lack of expectation. Lack of awareness causes the leadership that comes by vision, by the inward witness, and by words spoken in your spiritual ear to be dismissed. Do not dismiss these things, for it is by these that I manifest the gifts through you, says the Spirit of the Lord. That is what the prophet meant when he said, my anointing comes as you stay close to my Spirit. Remember those words. He spoke the truth to you. And as you are constantly aware that I am with you, as much as you would be aware that any other person was with you, then know that my gifts are yours. Yes, sir. You mentioned prophet again. I never did quite finish that statement earlier. What is the gift of what is the working of a prophet today? There are, you know, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, so forth. Primarily the ministry of a prophet now. I got started into it, but then I went down a detour. When the Lord is dealing with you with one of those things that you're just not willing to hear about, time goes by, times go by. Eventually, you'll callous that place in you. And it's not that he quits speaking about it, something he's trying to deal with you on. But you'll callous that place. You can't hear him anymore. You're just not hearing it. Women, I better talk about men. Women have no ears to hear a noise in the engine of a car. They just don't hear that. A man can hear it two blocks away. It's just born in us. You know, I can tell if a car is a low quart on oil almost every time. Men, that they can be sound asleep in the middle of the night, little baby be in the other room. That baby can hiccup, and the mama's in there to see what's wrong. The daddy, he don't know anything about it. We develop the capacity to shut certain things out, see, is the thing. Well, you do that with the Holy Ghost. Now, the ministry of a prophet, see, Dave says, you know, it's really embarrassing if God at this point, after I've trained myself to hear his voice all these years, and then he genuinely has to send a prophet to tell me something. He said, that's really embarrassing if it's genuine. Now, there's a lot of things you get from prophets that aren't really true. And Sue says, and people who think they're prophets, you know. Well-meaning people, okay? But let's say you get one that's true. I mean, they really bring you a word, and it's a word from God. Dave says, when that happens, I'm so embarrassed. Because what that means is God was doing everything he could to just communicate that to me directly. But because I chose not to hear it, or I, for some reason, I just blocked it out. But God, in his love and mercy, he won't just leave it that way. He'll send you a prophet if he has to. But he will get it across to you if you keep seeking him. So that's what I failed to say earlier. Okay, back to this now. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, I'll say that. See, I can hear him so good when I'm standing right here. I get home, sit down at my computer, and want to invest. I go straight home because I can hear him, right? We'll go home and invest in the stock market because I can hear him. Don't work that way. Now, it might if you really got a calling to gospel entrepreneur. Somebody who's called to that, where their anointing is that's what it is, and they've been purged to handle it. then I think they could probably hear him just like I hear him right now. See? But boy, it's amazing when I stand here. In other words, I'm in my office and I'm doing the teaching. It's just amazing how you can hear him, you know. What he's saying is this. There's not a person in the sound of my voice that has not missed a miracle this week. I'm not speaking necessarily of miracles for you. And I'm speaking of miracles through you. Because I've been with each and every one of you. And my desire is to bring the Father's will. To bless. And to deliver. And to heal. And to comfort. And to work His works in the earth. Yet, I must work through you. Learn of me. Learn of me. That my Father's works may be manifest in this generation, says the Lord. Hallelujah. See, and that's what He's trying to get across to us. Whether we're aware of His presence or not, just picture now, most of us are probably going to go eat at a restaurant maybe, you know, this afternoon, be among people. And you're sitting there and you're eating and you're, you know, fellowshipping, and you should. But there is a place, we're going to come to this place, where even while we're doing that, there is this constant monitoring. This constant monitoring of that place within us, where the Holy Spirit communicates. Because while we're fellowshipping, the Holy Spirit's looking all around the restaurant. And there's some person right there that's right on the verge of financial collapse. Needs a word from the Lord. There's someone over there that they've got a child that needs healing. So He's trying to communicate with us by vision. And they're usually really quick. They're little fast flashes, you know. And you're always wondering, was that God? Okay. Don't be afraid of your trips to the barber shop at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Don't be afraid. Most of you know what I'm talking about. So, well, what if it's not? You'll be embarrassed. So what? Learn. How is she going to learn? The only way to be safe is do nothing. And that's not safety. That's the biggest fool of all. Because then we wind up standing before Him and He goes, why didn't you let me minister through you? Well, I never did spend enough time with your spirit to know it was you. I'm standing by Sue because it's safe. Got your keys ready? Start the car. You know. That's what He was trying to get across to us. He's going, I'm with you all the time. You think I'm just idle? You think the Lord doesn't want to do things where you go? I'm with you. And the gifts are available to you all the time. And most of the time we don't even pick up on it. You know, He'll give you a little flash or you'll see something and you'll go, huh, but it's so quick, you just pass it off. You don't realize it's the Lord wanting to try and get across to you something that He wants to do right then in that restaurant before you go home, before the next church service, right there. I can just see Donner. Donner, are you still here? I can just see. Really, Lord, you want that? Walk over to the table next to her, grab the person by the head. Come out in Jesus' name, I said, come out. The guy's flopping like a chicken on the floor. Ah! But he gets free. At the restaurant, they banned Donner for life. Who cares? Who cares? You cast the devil out of them next. Now, I don't know. Y'all seeing what the point He was trying to get across to us? He's going, listen, I'm with you all the time. Do you think the Lord never wants to do anything through you? Who do you think I use? It's us. I'm teaching good. I heard that. Hallelujah. I'll go with that. As you are constantly aware that I am with you, as much as you would be aware that any other person was with you, then know that my gifts are yours. Do not dismiss my leadings, my witness, my visions, my voice. For these are things by which I operate the gifts through you. What I show you, do. What I say, say. Where I say go, go. How I show you to act, act. If you dismiss these things, I cannot manifest the gifts through you. But if you are aware that I am ever with you, and that these things are from me, and you perform your promise to me that you will obey without question, if you will do that, if you will follow through on that, then I will never fail you. I will never fail to manifest the mind of Christ in your midst, says the Spirit of grace. Now, in this next section, he says, let me now give you initial instructions on every gift. And one by one, starting with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healings, the working of miracles, the gift of prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues, one by one by one, he teaches me how to flow in them for me. Now, I'm going to read you one of them. I'm not going to go through this. And the reason I'm doing this, again, this is not doctrine in the sense of this is how he flows through everybody. I don't know that this is how he'll flow through you. He's teaching me. This is how he's going to flow through me. If I was to compare notes with somebody else who operates in the gifts a lot, I go, does the word of wisdom operate like this through you? They go, oh, no, it operates like that. All I know is 10 years later, exactly what he told us is the way it's come to pass. Just exactly this way. Let me just read you one so you know what I'm talking about. This is what he said about the word of wisdom. You will find that the word of wisdom operates primarily in vision form. Whether it be an internal vision, such as what you describe as teaching visions, or whether it be an open vision, expect them both. You will find that the word of wisdom also comes very often by dreams. You will have to, this is what he said to me, I don't care what you think about it, because he says, you'll have to learn which of these dreams are from me and which are from natural sources. That's a polite way of saying pizza or chili or... When a word of wisdom comes by vision or by dream, very often you'll hear my voice speaking to your ear, interpreting what you're seeing. Sometimes you will hear my voice and sometimes not. But learn to trust, and that's it. Learn to trust these internal visions. I can tell you 10 years later what that does not mean. It does not mean having them and never acting on them. I'll act on them as soon as I fully trust them. You're never going to come to the place where you do trust them. Act on them. Well, I found out one dream that I acted on was God. The next dream I acted on was pizza. You will start learning the difference. But if you don't ever start acting on those things, you're never going to learn. Learn to trust these internal visions and these dreams concerning the future. You'll become more and more expert with practice. See that? You will become more and more expert with practice. Everyone say, with practice. As you expect me to manifest the word of wisdom at all times and not just in services. Now, I've told you, I'm going to use these same ones again. I could give others, but it's good for you to hear these. Vitamins you take more than once. I can remember when they started developing and were a big part of it. And we're still working. I'll tell you right now, the hardest thing for me on a daily basis is to be constantly aware that he is with me. I'll tell you another thing that 10 years later he didn't mention here, but I'll tell you another thing. Your holiness will get a whole lot straighter when you're constantly aware he's with you. Losing your temper? Gossip? Maybe you ought to go see that movie? No, he's with me? I don't think so. Maybe not. You know? Not only will your walk straighten up, but you'll become, when you're more aware of his presence, you're like on standby. You're ready. And you're learning to monitor. There is a place, the same place in you where you hear his voice. That's the same place in you where you see the visions. Same place. You learn one, you learn the other. Well, sure enough, just like he said, It started to manifest, and it started to manifest in vision form. I told you recently about the guy in Korea, who's one of the main ones that I remember, that here I am, and I'm just in a line. I obviously don't know anybody in Korea other than Jin Ho and Sune, the pastor and his wife. And so I did my first service, and it's time for the first prayer line. Well, I don't know these people at all. I've never been to Korea before, and they don't speak English anyway. And I'm standing in front of this guy, just as clear as I'm seeing you, right next to him on the floor. Now, this is in a church service, so you know it's not really there. I see a toolbox, and it's the kind my dad used to carry. It's long, like a handsaw, about that long as a handsaw, and had a round dowel on the top that you carry it, wooden dowel. And it's full of saws and hammers and levels and all the stuff that a carpenter would use. And I'm going, what in the world? And so I tell Jin Ho, I said, Jin Ho, when I stand in front of this man before I even pray, I see this toolbox with hammers and saws and levels and all this in it. You know, I don't know why. And Jin Ho's got his eyes widened a little bit. And he says, well, Gary, this is Elder so-and-so. And if he's an elder here in the church. If we need a wall moved or a window installed or anything done in the church, he is our hammer and saw guy. He's the guy that does all of that. I said, well, now here comes the word of wisdom part. I didn't understand it first. See, that's kind of a word of knowledge coupled in there. But there was a reason for it. I'm going, well, okay, what? Now tell him what I saw and tell him I had no way of knowing that. You had never told me before. And then after that, tell him, okay, now what I'm about to tell him, that's just as much from God too. So he can trust me, because this is the first time he'd ever met me. But if he can understand that I got that information from God, pretty good chance the next thing I say to him is going to be from God too. See? So it was a word of wisdom to help this guy. Wisdom. Well, sure enough. Now, Gary, are you going to make a doctrine in the church that word of wisdom always comes by vision? No. He never said that. He said that's the way he was going to do it with me. See, here's my goal, is that you get to the place where one of your lessons, somewhere down the road, the Holy Ghost, you sit down with a piece of paper or a recorder or something, and he spends an hour teaching you personally how he's going to manifest the gifts of the Spirit through you. That's going to be a good day. That's going to be a good day and help you understand what to look for, what to be aware of. Let's do one more. Word of knowledge. He says, you will find that the word of knowledge can also come by vision and by a dream. And I've had it. But more frequently, you will find that it comes by revelation alone. Suddenly, you will simply just know. And you will just know something that you have no way of knowing from the natural point of view. Knowledge from the mind of Christ simply imparted to you. One minute you know, and the previous minute you did not know. This comes often. Expect it to come by revelation knowledge. Do not dismiss it. Now, since I know Dave's going to be back Tuesday, and I don't know how long it's going to be before we can continue this series, I want to talk about that one with something that comes in a later lesson. One day, I remember just as plain as anything, we were praying in a prayer line. The lady was right about here. I'd never seen her before. We're just praying, coming down the line. And I stood in front of this lady. I wasn't hearing nothing. I wasn't seeing nothing. And I don't know why, but I just reached up and put my hand on her shoulder. As soon as I did that, I just suddenly knew that she had two children. And it's been a long time now. I'd have to go back and look at my notes. I knew then. I don't know now. So it's been a long time. But I knew that she had two children, and I knew some other things. And I asked her about it. I said, is this right? And she went, yes. And I thought, I am on my way. Glory to God. We got this gifts thing going. And so I'm praying. Yeah. And so I prayed and splat, and it was great. And I'm just, you know, buttons about to bust off my shirt on the way home. Glory to God. He used me. Word of knowledge. Hallelujah. I get home and start praying. This is a later lesson. He says, well, that information that you received that you think was the word of knowledge, you actually received it by a familiar spirit. He said, notice you didn't get it until you touched her. Did you ever notice how clairvoyants usually have to have an object from the person before they can... He says, do you know many ministers? Because they don't sit and receive this kind of training. They're genuine and they think they're operating by the gifts, but they'll operate by familiar spirits till the day they die. Prophesying to people what they want to hear, because they're picking up what they want from them rather than hearing from the mind of Christ. That's scary stuff. And I had no idea. I mean, you just don't know how out of the blue that was. I'm sitting there just speaking into that recorder. Can you imagine how I'm going, what? You have enough of these and you finally conclude, because the devil will tell you it's your own mind. Even you, if you do it enough, you'll go, I know I wasn't thinking that. Because I was all proud of myself. So, for a season. Now, see, the way I wrote that is just the way that he told me. He told me, the way he said it, don't touch the people. I want you to stand there and receive from me whatever it is I'm going to show you. Whether it's by vision, by word of knowledge, by revelation. Then, once you're sure that you've received what I'm going to give you, and you know, then you lay hands on them and pray, and then it'll just, the flow will be one way. Now see, I wrote it like that, and if people just take that as doctrine, then they'll think I'm saying, oh, you can't ever lay hands on anybody until you... No, he was teaching me that for that season, because I was new to these things. 10 years has gone by. I can lay hands on you. I know the difference now. You know what I'm saying? I know the difference between a familiar spirit now and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I didn't know it then. So what he was saying is, during this season of training, don't lay hands on them. Don't touch them first. But later on, you graduate. Hey, familiar spirits, you'll learn. Sue knows about this. But one time we were just a group of Christians just fellowshipping at somebody's house. And this lady, she just walks by, didn't say a word. But that familiar spirit, I couldn't see it, but I could almost see it. It walked by and almost just with a smirk. She wasn't even looking at me. But it's like I could see the face of that spirit turn and look at me. And as she's walking by, that thing in her says, I could seduce you if I wanted to. Just as clear. And that wasn't her. That's some spirit that's operating in her. See? Now, that's another lesson for another day. But over time, you learn about these things, okay? I don't want you to be afraid to lay hands on people. See? What I do want you to do is pray, you old flaky outfits. Pray. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want you to get that two-tape message by Brother Dave, Distinguishing God's Voice. And a lot of people get discouraged. They do. They'll do it pretty diligently. And I never know what people mean by diligent. I don't know what diligent means to you. Diligent to me means until you get it. You know, it's just no stopping. You know, diligent for a lot of people is till they get tired. I was raised in the concrete business. If you get tired before you finish, you're going to wreck that out tomorrow and do it all over again at your own expense. And concrete is not cheap. We're talking, you know, if it's a $5,000 job, if you have to do it over again, it's going to cost you $10,000 probably. Because now you got to wreck it out and haul it away and do everything again. I don't know the understanding of I'm tired, so I'm stopping. I don't understand that concept. You finish concrete until my elbows would lock up. We had these certain kind of brooms we had to use on it. And this time of year when it's hot like this, I'd be using that broom just for benefit of the tape where they can't see me. I'm as though I'm using a janitor type broom, you know, and my arms would just lock up. They wouldn't move anymore. And now my dad, our carpenter, had great compassion on me. And he says, oh, that's all right, son. We'll just let this go and we'll wreck it out tomorrow and redo it. Do you think that's what he said? No. He said, go over that tree and bang your elbows on it till you can move again. And he wasn't kidding. You go over to the tree and you press until they unlock. Then you do it again until they lock again. But there's no such thing as quit until a job is done. Well, people get discouraged doing this. They say, well, I did it. And I don't mean to belittle it. I know people do. I mean, I usually say, what, till Tuesday? This being Sunday? How about Tuesday 2010? Till you get it. See, or however long it is. What's it worth to you? to finally no longer be like an orphan, doing all these things and hoping some of it's really God. What's it worth to you to finally find your hand in the hand of the Holy Ghost and you and Him walking this life together just as if you were walking side by side with the Lord Jesus Himself? That's what He's been sent to do. Now I'll finish it up with this. All of the rest of this is at our website. It's in written format. This one is called Coveting the Gifts, where he describes how he's going to operate the gifts through Sue and I. And he has. That does not mean he's necessarily going to do it that same way through you, but if it'll help whet your appetite, there's information in there for you. But I want to read you what he said at the end of this. After he taught me about all nine gifts, he said this, and it just blew my hat in the creek. He says, "Oh, it fit. It's just so unreligious. It's so like God." Holy Spirit said to me, he says, "You should know that I am enjoying this fellowship more than you." He says, "How seldom do I get to sit down and fellowship with the Father's sons like this? Many think I have no emotions, that I have no feelings. Such is not the case. I have all emotion. I love. I feel. I can be grieved and I can be pleased. But I am full of joy as we walk together and fellowship one with another. Think not that I derive no pleasure from this fellowship, for I surely do. And understand that the Father and the Son are rejoicing as they watch your fellowship with the Spirit increase. For as your fellowship with me increases, you will find your fellowship with the Father and with the Son shall increase also. Look forward with great joy to those days, says the Spirit of grace. You should know that as you become more expert at coming to this place where you hear my voice in your spiritual ear, it will no longer be required that you isolate yourself and be in a quiet place free from all external distractions. For now it is necessary. This is new to you. But understand the day shall shortly come when the loudest voice you hear shall be mine. Even in the midst of the hurricane and the storm and the raging seas, no matter how loud the circumstances, no matter how vicious the attacks, the most easily heard voice shall be my voice in your ear. Oh, great times are ahead, son. Great times are ahead. Be full of hope. Be full of joy. Be full of expectation. And most of all, be full of awareness that I am with you." That's it. I've got to go pray. Enough of this. Isn't that good stuff? He's always like that too. I've never yet come in and found him depressed. "I didn't know gas was going to $4 a gallon. I don't know what the kingdom's going to do now." He said, "You know, bus ministry and everything. I just don't know." Looking back, he's always full of hope and joy and all things are possible and the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That spirit of depression, that's the devil. Fight it like a rattlesnake. It's trying to steal your life. Now, have I whetted your appetite enough? Distinguishing God's voice. And if you don't have access to it for some reason, I taught my own version of it called Hearing God's Voice. And it's at our website, GaryCarpenter.org. Dave's is much better. I recommend you get Dave's. He does in two tapes what it takes me four to do, and his are still better. Okay? I'm telling you, get Dave's if you can. But it's wonderful. And, you know, this is not a message I can just go to any church and teach. Thank God for the foundation you people have under you. Do you understand I couldn't teach this in my hometown at any church there? I couldn't teach the same message. Thank God for the foundation, line upon line, precept upon precept, that's been laid in you so lovingly by Dave and over all these years, that we can even have a message like this. We are blessed among people. I'm telling you, we are blessed people. Hallelujah. Father, I believe I obeyed you. I feel a release now. Oh, I feel your love so strong for these people, Lord. Yeah, I feel his anticipation. He is anticipating you're not going to just let this be another message. You're actually going to do it. There is an anticipation. He said he had all emotion. Oh, I'm excited about that. I mean, the devil would cringe to think there's a group of believers walking hand in hand with Jesus, with the mind of Christ and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. His kingdom would be in big trouble. That's you. Glory to God. Oh, Father, I thank you for that wave of anticipation I feel. Father, you know and I know I can't impart this. It's their choice. It's like you left it up to me. You didn't force me. It's their choice. But Father, I say they'll choose. They'll choose to do it. Learn how to distinguish your voice. Follow in the footsteps of Jesus. I thank you for the good ground. Thank you for the harvest that's coming. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.